I want us to think back in time a little bit. If you'll go ahead and bring up my PowerPoint, please. I want us to think back in time just a little bit, those of you that can. And a number of years ago, I don't listen to country music to any great extent at all. Maybe in years past, maybe so. I mean, like last Sunday, about this time last Sunday, Sarah and myself, we were in Folsom, California, right there where the prison's at, and it made me want to think about Johnny Cash music for some reason, you know. Then she gets out all black for me to wear today, so I don't know, maybe that's a sign. Were you able to find it, Zach? It should be, look on the desktop, I think it may appear there. But as we get through this, I hope it's there anyway. If it's not, that's okay. But we will, there you go. We want to wish you happy Father's Day. And I'm not going to tell you I've got a Father's Day message, because it's going to be obvious to you in a minute. It's not necessarily a Father's Day message, although every day is Father's Day in the house of the Lord. But I want us to go to the book of Mark. And we're going to go to the book of Mark. But before we get there, I want to tell you all, or ask you all, if your mind will allow you to wander back a few years, not too awful many years. There was a guy that came along in country music, and his name was Travis Tripp. And some of y'all may remember Travis Tripp. He was like a modern day hippie, so to speak, you know. Travis Tripp was okay. I liked some of his music, though I don't follow country music real close. But Travis Tripp made a song famous, or the song made him famous. And that song was entitled, "Here's a Quarter Called Someone Who Cares." Now, for those of you that don't, you know, like Jalen and Keaton are here this morning, they don't even know what a payphone is, I don't guess. But some of us that remember the days of payphones, and every once in a while you can still find one around, you know, you dropped a quarter in that phone and you got to call somebody. So that was the gist of the song. Here's a quarter, call someone who cares. Now, it's an interesting phrase, and it sold a lot of records for Travis Tritt. But the tone that phrase can be spoken in, and its intention and meaning, is actually meant to show a lack of concern or a lack of consideration to somebody else. So when we say that to somebody, "Well, here's a quarter, call someone who cares," we, in essence, we are saying to them that, "Well, I'm really not interested in you. I'm really not interested in your problem. I'm really not interested in hearing about your troubles. Here's a quarter, call someone who cares." But when I want us to think about that on the other side, if you would, on the other side of the coin, is realizing Vicki's already, she already expounded upon this as she obeyed the Spirit of the Lord this morning. There is somebody that cares about you. There is somebody that cares about you. You may think nobody in the world cares about you, but there is someone that cares about you. I want to read Mark chapter 4. And this is just so weird, because I want to tell you, those, some of you went to camp meeting this week and you may recognize this, but this scripture was used in three different services by three different people this week in camp meeting in Dublin. Three different ministers that ministered at different times that we're not aware of what the other one ministered about, and they used this passage, the same passage of scripture that I'm using this morning. So in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41, the day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him, and a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up and he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And Father, we ask that you bless the reading of your word. So the disciples found themselves in a moment of a does anybody really care moment. Now, we, Sarah and I, myself, a number of years ago had the opportunity to sail across the same lake. And I'll be very frank with you, from the point that Jesus departed from to what is now actually called the other side, that's what they call the location across the sea, you can see it with your naked eye. You can see it. It's visibly seeable with your other eye. It is a far-fetched across, but it's flat, of course, and you can see the other side. But understanding the Sea of Galilee, is not that big. In fact, I wouldn't even call it a sea at all myself. If I was going to look at it, I would call it a lake. It's not, in some ways, it's not a whole lot bigger than Clater Lake or maybe Smith Mountain Lake around here. Or if you're down towards Charlotte and you go across Lake Norman, it doesn't seem to be a whole lot bigger than lakes that we have. But the truth of the matter is, though, that it sets in between three valleys. And sometimes in rare occurrences, all of the weather patterns converge into that one place upon that lake. And so we were told while in Israel that when the three weather patterns can meet, and they do meet at one time on the Sea of Galilee, that some of the most ferocious storms that you could ever imagine will occur. That waves 10 and 12 foot tall will begin to rise up and swells on this lake, and the storms will be so violent that you can't even see in front of your face. Perhaps more than likely, that was a type of storm that hit while these guys were in their boat. And as they were in that boat, and Jesus was sleeping in that boat, they came up on a who cares moment in their life. They were convinced that the boat was going down. In fact, they said, don't it even bother you, Jesus, that we're going to perish? They were already convinced in their mind that they were going under. They were already convinced that they weren't going to make it. They were already convinced that they would not survive. They were convinced that this was it. It was their come to Jesus moment. They were going to step out into eternity. They were going to perish out in the middle of this sea, never see their families and their loved ones again. Now, if they had had their cell phones, they would have probably been texting their last goodbyes. They would have probably been putting their last Facebook Live post up, saying, here we are in this storm. They would have been communicating that. But they ran to Jesus because they didn't have any other source to turn to. They didn't have anything, any other hope. There was no hope in sight. There was no hope to be found. And they went to the bottom of the boat, and I don't know exactly how those boats were constructed, but somewhere in the boat, Jesus was asleep. And they went and they woke him out of his sleep, and they asked him that question. Don't you really care that we're about to die? In their mind, they probably were thinking, has somebody give us a quarter? Here's a quarter. Call someone who cares. They're wondering, does it really matter to anybody? Does it really matter to you, God, right now, Jesus? Does it really matter to us that we're about to die? But I want to let you know this. Just because Jesus was on the boat did not exclude those disciples from having a here's a quarter, call someone who cares moment. Those disciples, even though Jesus was on the boat, it did not alleviate the fact that a storm had came in their life, and they were beginning to wonder if they were even going to make it. And Jesus was right there on the boat with them. Now, to me, in my thinking, in my knowledge and my ability to reason, well, if Jesus is on your boat, you know, I think I've told you all in the past about, you know, back when we had Zach and myself and another couple of guys, we ran and did body work and had a little body shop. And there was this one woman that frequented the body shop really often. And she had this, Ford Taurus, I believe it was. And she had those stickers all over the back of it. You know, God is my co-pilot. She had another one that said, the angels are on board with me. And the one guy, Alf, that he's now gone on to be with the Lord, but Alf said when he read that sticker about the third time this woman wrecked his car, he said, those angels better get out of that car before she kills them. But when I think about Jesus being on a boat and I think about God being with me in the ship, nothing's supposed to happen to me. Nothing's supposed to fall apart in my life. No storms are supposed to come. No sickness is going to occur. I think Jesus is in my boat. Everything is going to be, as we used to say, cool and smooth. Everything is going to be well. But the reality of it is, the storm came even though Jesus was still on the boat. And when those storms comes, that's when we begin to say, my health is failing. I'm at my wit's end. Is there anyone that really cares? It's in those moments that we say, I'm in a catastrophic financial circumstance. Does anyone really care what's happening to me? Does anyone care? My marriage is on the rocks. I'm coping with loneliness. Every day I'm fighting anxiety and depression. I have addictions and habits that have wrecked and are wrecking my life. Does anyone really care? And quite frankly, we all have those seasons of life where we need to know if someone cares. We all have those. We all experience those. We all go through those seasons in our life. And we will pray and we will ask God and we will seek it and we will think, well, isn't Jesus? We'll begin to question our walk with God. Isn't Jesus on our boat anymore? Or if He's on our boat, does He even care anymore? Does He even care? But I want to encourage us today to don't mistake the lack of Jesus' response or the type of response that you and I often want. We should not view it as a lack of His ability to be in control. Because His lack of response really doesn't even reveal a lack of care, because there is not a time and there's not a place and there's not a moment that Jesus doesn't care for us. There is not a time that He doesn't bless us and He doesn't minister to us. There are times, and we were taught this week down in camp meeting, how there's some times that He allows His conscience presence to be gone in our life, but yet He is still not departed from us. So His lack of response, actually, we sometimes allow Jesus' lack of response or not responding like we think He should respond, we allow it to create and make determinations in ourselves about who God is. And we begin to question who God is and think about, well, has God forgotten me? Is He going to let me die? Is He going to let this occur? But all the time, the trial of life, the thing that we're going through, the storm, while Jesus is asleep in the boat, it's more so about us than it is about Him, because it reveals so much about us. We've all have expected responses from Jesus. Most of us in this room, we expect Jesus to bail us out when we're in trouble. We expect Jesus to patch our tire when it's going flat, so to speak. And we'll say, Jesus, I expect You to heal me right now. I expect You to turn my bank account around right now. I expect You to save my relationship. And He can, but He don't always, or He doesn't always respond in the expected manner. So we begin to equate the lack of the timely miracle with His interest and His care for us. But all the time, again, we can't do that. We can't do that because it really has nothing to do with how much Jesus loves us. There are some people that sleep through storms because of the lack of care. But there's others like Jesus that can sleep through a storm because he's confident of the outcome. You see, whilst when you read that scripture, Jesus said, meet me over on the other side. Jesus had ordained that he was going to arrive on the other side of the Sea of Galilee before they had ever set sail. It was destined that they would be on the other side. Now, you say, yeah, but that's Jesus, preacher. And you're exactly right. We are the ones that forget. We are the ones that lack the confidence. We are the ones that our faith fails us. Jesus had already said, I will meet you over on the other side. And it was those people in the boat. It was his followers that was with him that began to go down and shake him and awaken him during this storm and said, don't you really care if we die or not? Aren't you concerned about us? Forgetting that Jesus had already said, I'll meet you over on the other side. He had destined it. He had ordained it. And you understand this. God has made a destiny. God has made an ordination over our lives. If we will look for it, if we will find it, if we will search it out, it will occur. It will happen. It will take place. It doesn't mean that we won't have some rough sailing at times. It doesn't mean that we won't have storms on the sea of life. It doesn't mean that there's going to be a moment where we think Jesus has said, here's a quarter, cause someone who cares, although he never does that. But there, we're all going to go through those periods of time in our life where he will allow us to walk by our faith, and we need to come to the remembrance of his word. I will meet you over on the other side. But even in the lack of faith, when Jesus was awakened, what did he do? He stood and he calmed the storm. And he calmed the seas. And it's very important, it's very, very important that we have Jesus in our boat. Even though the storms may come, it's still important to have Jesus in our boat. You know, we flew in several, I know some of you guys fly from time to time in airplanes, and you know, we when we flew last week, I didn't quiz anybody, I didn't ask anybody. I take it for granted, I guess. But you know, out of all the people that was on that airplane with us, you know, one of the most thankful people, the person I was most thankful for is that we had a pilot. We had a pilot that knew how to fly the plane, and he knew how he where he was going. And I hopefully, if an emergency arose, he would know how to handle it. I don't mind riding planes. Somebody said to me yesterday, they said, "Aren't you scared to get on those airplanes?" I said, "No, that don't bother me a bit." I said, "I'd just soon fly in a plane as I would drive on 77 or 81." I said, "Flying in a plane don't bother me, but I only want to fly in a plane that I know that there's somebody at the wheel that knows what they're doing." And bless God, he may be watching, and if he was sitting here, I'd say it to him. My friend Gary Cope has a pilot license, but I wouldn't ride with him for no man's money. He can't hardly ride a motorcycle. How in the world you don't fly a plane, Gary? But the reality of it is, I want to be on board with somebody I know that has control of the situation. And it's important for us in our life to know and to realize and to have Jesus on board, or more so to make sure that we're on board with him. And when those storms comes, and when our faith is weak, and when things are diminishing in our life, and everything has seemed to grow dark around us, and so again, going back to what we were told about the Sea of Galilee, when those mega storms come to the Sea of Galilee, there's like typhoons arise off of the sea. You know, it's just horrendous storms, and everything becomes black. And when everything is black in our life, and the typhoons are blowing, and the winds are raging, and the waves are crashing, and we don't, even though we can see where we're supposed to be, we're thinking we're never going to make it, we're going to die. It's good to know that we have somebody on board, and we can go to that somebody and say, "Master, won't you wake up? Don't you care know that we're about to perish? Even though they knew that, they trusted Him. He was their master. He was their Lord. But still, in the moment of their doubt, He steps up and He calms the seas and He calms the wind and He lets them know that good, good Father, that I'm in control. I'm in control. Now, when we get into the boat with Jesus, if you would, Jesus' boat had a choice. Jesus' boat has a choice. In verse 36, it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. There were also other boats with Him. Understand that the boat had a choice. The boat had a choice to float. The boat had a choice to take a destination and a route to the other side. You and I are a lot like that. You and I are like that because we have to set ourselves afloat. We went down on Sanford. Sorry to give you a recap, if it bores you, I apologize. We went down on Fisherman's Wharf last week while we were out there in California, and you know they had some of the most beautiful boats you ever saw down there. They had some of those yachts. Y'all know what the yachts are? Y-A-C-H-E-T, yachts, yachts. They had yachts. We saw some that were, you know, I told Sarah, I said, wonder who owns that one, you know. But some of those most beautiful boats that you've ever seen, some large boats, some fancy boats, some beautiful boats. But every one of those boats were docked. They were docked. But then we saw some other boats that were coming in, some fisher boats. They've been out fishing, crabbing, whatever they do out there, catching lobsters, whatever they do in San Francisco. And then there was other boats that came in and they were weathered. And I'll be very frank with you. I don't know that I would have got on one of those things for anybody's money. They look bad. I mean, some of those boats looked older than Charlie Howard. So they were old. Some of those boats were very, very, very old. And I don't know that I would have got on one of those boats. I mean, it looked to me like they had cracks and stuff in them. I don't know. But you know what? Those boats were going out and those boats were coming in. And those boats were out there working while the yachts were sitting at the dock looking pretty. You see, if we're going to serve Jesus, we've got to be willing to let go of the dock. If we're going to serve Jesus, we got to be willing to set sail and go out to sea. And anytime we set sail and we go out to sea, we must realize that the opportunity for storms, the opportunities for the typhoons, the opportunities for the raging waves are before us. But we must set sail and we must go out. And we must make a choice that we are going to go in. Serve God in spite of the potential of bad weather that will come. When we read the scriptures there, it's evident that the disciples were scared of the storm. They were scared of the storm, but we see another type of fear arise in their life. Because they were afraid of the storm and they were afraid of dying. But when you study the scripture there and you flesh it all out, you begin to find out that when Jesus stepped out and he spoke, peace be still. The winds quit blowing. The waves quit rolling. And when Jesus spoke that out, you find that there's another fear that overcame those disciples. It was the fear of the Lord. It was a reverential fear. It wasn't a fear for their life any longer, but it was a reverential fear. Do you realize that tonight, or this morning I should say, do you realize that when we go through a storm, When we go through a battle, when we go through warfare, when we go through trials and tribulations, and we go through heartaches and trials and troubles, and when Jesus comes and we go and wake Him up and say, "Don't you care if we perish? Would you give a quarter? I need to call somebody who cares. Would you please help us, God?" Do you realize this? That when Jesus stood up and He calmed the seas and the winds and the waves rested, another fear came on those people. That reverential fear of God. Understanding that in spite of everything that goes on, God is in control. And He is to be revered. He is to be reverenced. He is to be considered Lord of all. Because what kind of man was this that could speak to the winds and the waves and cause them to cease? What kind of man is this that can walk out and just with a word and just peace be still? What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this that had already ordained and destined that we would make it to the other side, would be patient enough with me when I wake him up out of the boat and interrupt his sleep, would say to me, "You know, what's the problem with your faith?" But yet he did not punish me in my lack of faith. But a man of such great love, a man of such great power, the good father that we sang about this morning. But here's what happened. These disciples were shaken by the situation. But I believe they were more shaken by the solution. Because once they embraced the solution, they saw mighty, miraculous things take place. They were overcome with fear in the situation. The situation brought fear. But the solution brought to them faith. The solution brought to them. Because I want to tell you, you might not have much faith right now, and you may be going through the storm of your life, but if you will hold on, if you will realize God has got a destiny for you, if you will realize He has a plan for you, if you will realize, and you will just, even if you have to go, and you feel foolish about it, and you'll have to say, "Jesus, wake up. Don't you even care that I'm dying here? Don't you care that I'm going to..." Even if you have to do that and feel foolish in doing it, you realize that the solution to your situation, which is Jesus, the solution to your situation, Jesus, is going to bring you to that place of greater faith. Because I have a feeling that some of those disciples, and I have a notion that some of the conversation was later on when they got thinking about it. You know, you ever realize how many, maybe I'm the only one that panics from time to time. But have any of you all ever sat down and considered something after the fact of the matter? Have you ever sat down and looked back at it and say, "Well, I don't really know why I was so worried about this to start with. I don't really know why I was so concerned about this to begin with. Why did I get myself in such a tizzy? Why did I get myself in such an uproar? Why did I get myself, let myself get bent so out of shape?" But we don't have the ability to, we don't have the foresight that God has, of course. And the only thing we actually have so much in speaking is a hindsight behind us. And you know, it said hindsight is 20/20. And we will look back and we'll say, "Why in the world was I worried about this?" God was in control the entire time. And I have a feeling that that's what happened with those disciples. I have a feeling that they look back and I can see them talking after they get to the other side, and they're sitting around drinking sweet tea and they're eating McDonald's French fries, maybe McDonald's fish sandwich, whatever they like, and they're sitting around eating, and I can see one saying, you know guys, why were we even worried? Why were we even fearful? Because Jesus had already said He was going to see us when we got here. So why did we let it upset us so bad? Well, the answer to that is because we are fleshly. and we are carnal. And our faith is not made perfect yet. But the faith of Jesus Christ is. And He is unfailing. And He is unwavering. And He can't fail and He won't fail. And He is not a failure in any form, way, shape, any fashion can Jesus fail. But sometimes we forget that He's destined us. Sometimes we forget that He has made a way for us. And sometimes we think Jesus has just said to us, here's a quarter, just call someone, who cares. But that's foolish thinking. That's foolish thought. Because there is someone who cares, and His name is Jesus. And you're never alone with Him. And He might not do what you want Him to do, when you want Him to do it, and how you want Him to do it. But Jesus still cares for you. I don't care where you're at this morning, whether you're in this room or you're watching by Facebook Live or you're listening by EV Radio. I don't care where you're at in life. I don't care what you're going through, what's happening with you. I want you to know this, that Jesus cares what happens to you. Years ago, some of the guys I used to play music with, and you know, it was a bluegrass gospel band, and back in the I guess late 80s, early 90s, and I don't remember the song lyrics at all, really, with the exception of just a few words. And that song said this: yes, Jesus cares what happens to me. Yes, Jesus cares what happens to me. And He does care what happens to me. But He also cares what happens to you. That's why I said, I will not leave you nor will I forsake you into the ends of the earth. It's because He cares what happens to you. He cares what happens to me. And because He cares, even though sometimes we may have to weather the storm, even sometimes we may set out, you know, the day we rode across the Sea of Galilee, it was a beautiful sunny Sunday morning, just like today. And the waters were calm. And we rode this big, like a big boat of some type. I don't know what you call it. It would accommodate several people. And they had a band and everything. And we had worship service on Sunday morning in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. But you know, they told us, they said it only takes a few moments for a storm to arise. They said they'll take you by surprise. They will overcome you. You have to keep your eyes on the sky all the time. You know, and it may seem like your life has been, you may have been on the sea of glass, but suddenly storms have overtaken you. But Jesus still has a destiny. He still says, I'll see you over on the other side. There may be times that your faith will grow weak, and even though it's not absolutely necessary, that you and I still have to go down in the bottom of the boat and we wake Jesus up and we say, hey, aren't you even concerned about this situation? And He steps up in His grace and He steps up in His mercy and He calms the waves and the winds and sees us safely to our destination. So Jesus has the authority over the storms. Jesus has the authority over the circumstances of our life. Sometimes we don't have to experience them as we do at other times. I got some friends or acquaintances of ours that are traveling all out through I haven't talked to them really, but apparently they're doing a tour throughout the West, throughout the United States. And they took a picture a few days ago and put it on their social media page of a tornado. They actually saw a tornado come down. Now, they were miles from it, but you could see it. It was a picture of that tornado, the swirl, and it coming down. And you could even see debris flying in the air. Now, I've said it oftentimes. I wouldn't want anybody to get hurt, but I think that would be an amazing thing to see. I think a tornado would be an amazing thing to see, but I wouldn't want to go through one. And sometimes we see storms. Sometimes we are in the storm. But no matter of how it comes and how it goes and when it comes, Jesus, Jesus always cares. He always cares. I may say to somebody, here's a quarter, just call somebody who cares. Sometimes, and you'll say, oh Lord, that's terrible of you because you're a pastor. But sometimes there's people come to me and tell me things that I really don't care to know. I'm not saying that about you all. You know, there's people that will come and say, you know, what about this or what about that? Sometimes I like to say, well, here's you a quarter. Just call somebody who cares. You do the same thing. Let me tell you something. Jesus never turns a deaf ear to anybody. He never blinds his eye to anybody. He cares about what happens to you. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. With heads bowed and eyes closed in this place, I'm wondering if there's... maybe you're sitting in this room and you're not saved, or maybe you've grown cold and backslidden on God. If that's you, or if you're unsaved, I'd like to ask you this question. Maybe it's been a storm. Maybe it's been something that's been going on in your life that's brought you to the place where you're at today. Maybe, just maybe, you're wondering if anybody even really cares what happens to you. Maybe you're wondering if God even really cares. I've got news for you. He does. He does. He cares enough. He cares enough about you that He gave His Son in your place. And His Son took the debt of your sin. So if you're in this room this morning and you've never been saved, or you've grown cold and drifted far from God, would you slip your hand up for me without any embarrassment at all? Is there anybody in this room? Anybody at all? Let me ask you another question. You can look at me if you'd like. If you're in this room today, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you're going through that storm. Maybe the waves are filling your boat. Maybe the waves are filling your boat. But if you're in this room and you just have the feeling that you're going under, okay, you're saved and you're still living for Jesus, but you just feel like you're going under. Is that you? Is that you? Is that what you're feeling right now? Is that what you're sensing right now? Is there anybody in this room say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Is there anybody else? That's me. I feel like I'm going under. Miss Beverly, I'd like to have prayer with you. And if there's anybody else, maybe you didn't raise your hand. We're going to say goodbye to our Facebook audience right now. I'll